Reading in the second book of Chronicles, the 9th chapter, and when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem, with a very great company and camels that bear spices and gold in abundance, and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions, and there was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the seating of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, his cupbearers also, and their apparel, and his accent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not their words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard." You know, Solomon was symbolic of Christ. The answer to all of our problems, it's in Christ. We're not aware of that until we come to him and we get acquainted with him. But he can answer all of the questions within our heart. It doesn't matter what kind of problems we have. Doesn't matter how hard it might seem. Yet the Lord has the answer to it. And he tells us all of the wonderful things that we need to know. The Queen of Sheba traveled far to try to understand the great wisdom of Solomon. The other night, I read some to you from the book of Revelation. Here in the book of Revelation is an expose where this great wisdom that even Solomon was not allowed to see, so far as the unveiling of it, this great wisdom, this great spirit that was in Solomon, here it is the unveiled, called the revelation of Jesus Christ, to build the house of the Lord. For in that day Solomon took the wisdom that God gave him. He built a great cathedral. He built a great building, a great place for the Ark of the Covenant, which was symbolic of the latter times when God would come with his understanding and build that great city, New Jerusalem, or build up the fallen down house of David, which the Bible refers to as being you and I, or that the Bible refers to as being the lively stones that's built up into a holy priesthood, a habitation for God, the eternal spirit. And so then we see it, and we see in the council of Jerusalem where one of the writers stood up in the midst of the people saying, and this agrees with what the scripture says, that I will return in the last days, saith God, and I will build up the fallen down house of David. Well, that is, I will build the house of Solomon again. So the temple must be built again. There is going to be a building of the temple. Which temple is going to be a natural temple? And that temple will be built over in the Holy Land. And we're getting close to that time now. God is going to let that temple be built again. But in the meantime, we are God's people that are called the lively stones, which means that you and I must be built up into a royal generation, a royal priesthood, into a habitation for God, or that is to say, these lively stones that we are must be built up as God's building. Paul said, "You are God's building. I am a wise master builder. I have a plan that God has given me. And it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me." He said, "I, and yet not I, but God himself is about to build a building out of Revelation. Out of the great wisdom of understanding, it shall be the fallen down house of David or Solomon." And he said, "I'm about to build a building, and yet not I, but God, because Abraham said, I see a building, a fallen down building. That is, I'm looking for a building that has been torn down, and I'm going to find a building that's torn down, but in its place, I'm going to find a building that is built by God himself." God shall build it. The walls of Jerusalem has been built many times, but always torn down. But in the last episode of the building, God chooses 12 apostolic leaders as the stones of foundation to rebuild that city of Jerusalem. And this time, when God builds it, it'll never be torn down again. For I will return in the last days and build up the fallen down house of David. So God is building it up. God himself, the Bible said they shall all be taught of God. God himself, through the instrumentality of humanity, God is building up that fallen down house of David. And he's building it up to where that we can say, as Abraham, we who seek a city whose foundation and builder is God, we are able to find that city, we're able to see that city, and we're able to dwell in that city throughout the endless ages. So then, seeking a city whose builder and maker is God, they shall all be taught of God. Paul said, and it's not me living, but God. And he said, I have a revelation, and I'm a wise master builder. And I must lay the stones, I must build the building of which Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. So it's a wonderful building that's going up. Even the bride of the Lord Jesus. For the Bible said, and I saw, John said, I saw New Jerusalem descending out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. A great, wonderful city as a bride coming down out of heaven, he said. I saw this great city whose builder and maker is God. I saw it adorned as a bride for her husband. And I saw it coming down out of heaven. New Jerusalem, the songwriter said, descending out of heaven, coming down from God. So then we see that this great, wonderful New Jerusalem is coming down from God. We find it in the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. Find that the Lord speaks of this great city in the 21st chapter, and the river of life that's pure as crystal in the 22nd chapter that's flowing down from the throne of this great, wonderful city. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the waters of life freely. Water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderous and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth full square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the heights of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 140 and full cubits, according to the measure of man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto a clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysophoras, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the streets of the city were pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh the abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. There's a lot of things here that the Bible speaks of concerning this beautiful city, the holy city. You know, I think about that city a lot of times, and before I really came to understand, I thought about that city and I thought, Lord, such a beautiful city, such a wonderful turn of event, such glory and magnificence that's waiting for us to see. But I thought, Lord, it'll be another 1,000 years before we'll get to see that lovely city. Just think, Lord, I've only been in this world a few years, comparatively speaking. And I thought, and here it is, I'll have to wait another 1,000 years before I can see that beautiful city. And then I came to understand some things. God opened my eyes and I began to understand some things. You know, we who are Christians, we don't have to wait 1,000 years to see the beautiful city. The other people that are passing through the transitional changes of time, those people will have to wait. They won't be discontented because the ones that go out into the millennium will see the beautiful restored earth, the paradise of God, how beautiful it will be for 1,000 years. So they won't be disappointed. They'll have a great, wonderful time. But our experience with God will be so far greater than the new earth, so far greater than the paradise of God that Adam and Eve was in. It will be so far greater and so excel those things. And we don't have to wait 1,000 years. For the coming of the Lord Jesus, the Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall suddenly be changed into the image of God, and we'll be caught up into the clouds to be with Christ. We'll be caught up into the heavens, and God will immediately take us to that great city, New Jerusalem. But all of those that are in the earth, they can't be caught up there. All of those that are in the earth must remain in the earth. And though there's going to be a great, wonderful paradise, even the restored earth, which is called the millennium, yet there is something far greater. And that is that you and I are going up into heaven. We're not going to stay on the earth. We're going to be caught up into the heavens, and we're going with Christ. And we're going to see that glorious New Jerusalem. There's no other way God can do it. You might say, Brother Pike, how do you know? What makes you so sure? I know because Revelation 19 tells me that the Lord is coming back on a white horse. And that we're coming back with him. Which means that we've got to be wherever Christ is. And you that believe, and you that understand, and you that know what I'm saying, you realize that we're already in that great, wonderful place. For we're not of the world. God has chosen us out of the world, hid us with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring, the millennium, the restitution of all things. So then, we are caught up. Why must we be caught up? Because the Bible said in that great city of New Jerusalem that John saw coming down out of heaven was as a bride adorned for her husband. And Paul said, ye are that great building. You are that great city. You're that great, wonderful building that God spoke of. You're the many mansions that God spoke of. You're the house of God. You're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. God spoke from heaven when John baptized Jesus and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased to dwell. And the Bible said, God without measure, God in his fullness, God is a spirit. dwelt within the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. God dwelt in that body. And so then we today, being the temple of God, we being the member of the body of Jesus, the members in particular, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, we being the tabernacle of God in the earth, we being that great temple, we being that great house of God that Peter spoke of. So then today we have God dwelling in us. You know, Jesus had God without measure. And when Jesus went away, he severally divided God up among the people. And he gave a measure of God to every individual that could receive it. So then every individual today that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has been born again. They have a measure of faith. They have a measure of the Spirit of God. Every person has this measure. And God is dwelling on the inside of you because we're God's building. We're God's temple. We're God's lively stones. God said, you are my jewels. I will remember you when I come to make up my jewels. And I will spare you as a man that spareth his son. I will come to make up the jewels. And I will spare you as a man spareth his son. If I wrote a book of remembrance of you because you spake often of me. And this book of remembrance is written so that I will never forget you. And I've engraved you in the palms of my hand, that I might never forget you. And so then, there is something greater for us. We are going to be caught up into the heavens. God's going to lift us up out of this earth and take us away into the wonderful city of God. God's going to take us up there because to be able to come back into this world, we've got to be up there. And being Christ his bride and being that great city and being the lively stones, being the jewels that make up that beautiful wall, being that great city, being God's building, being God's dwelling place, God's habitation. So then we've got to be there with God, even the chief cornerstone, the Lord Jesus. We've got to be there with God so that we can return and come back into this earth upon the new earth after that God has completely restored, after God is glorified. After God has brought all things back into existence that's been destroyed, all things that's been laid away, everything that's become extinct, God is going to raise it up. And when the Lord raises it up, he's going to restore the entire earth. And once everything is restored as it was in the garden, in the act of God, as in the beginning, then God's going to glorify, God's going to change, God's going to change the natural to the celestial. He's going to change this terrestrial body, this earth that's in the terrestrial. He's going to change it over to the celestial. But you and I, we're going to be caught away before the tribulation period, before the great wrath of God, before the sorrows and heartaches strike the earth. We're going to be caught away. We're going to be translated. We're going to be taken to be with God. We're going up to be with God. We're going to be in that great, wonderful city, in the great, wonderful presence of God. And then we're going to make up that great tabernacle of God, that great temple of God, that great city of God. For ye are God's building, Paul said. I'm a master builder. I've got a revelation, he said. I'm going to put you together. I'm going to frame the city. I'm going to put it together. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He said, and when I put it together, you will be God's building. And the angel said to John, come and let me show you this great city. And the Bible said he was taken away into a great high mountain. And there in that mountain, he looked down and he beheld all of the wonderful things. And the Bible said he saw this great city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband, coming down to sit down upon the new earth. What a beautiful sight, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, coming down to sit upon the earth, the great city, the tabernacle of God. And the Bible said, and a voice said, and now the tabernacle of God, the city of God, the building of God, it is now among men. You know, I thought I'd have to wait 1,000 years to see it. But I found out that God is just going to catch me away and take me up to that beautiful city. Because as the bride of Christ, that's my dwelling place. And I found out that I am part of that great city. And when I look around and see the church, I see that great city. And I see God's building, and I see God's lively stones. And I see Satan. The Bible said, and Satan walked up and down amid the stones of fire. Lucifer, from whence cometh thou, Lucifer? Walking up and down in the earth among the stones of fire. We're the jewels of God. We're the diamonds of God. We're filled with the fire of the Holy Ghost. We're filled with this great eternal light. Satan, walking up and down in the earth, walking in the midst of the brethren. Walking among the church, walking among the stones of fire. From whence cometh thou? The Lord said, having been among the stones of fire. He sees these great jewels. He sees these great people that make up the city, even New Jerusalem. Stone upon stone, lively stones laid upon the foundation that Abraham spoke of. He said, for I am looking for a city. He said, whose builder and maker is God. And the Bible said, this city hath foundations. And the Bible also says that these foundations of these apostolic teachings, that God has laid these foundations, that Jesus himself, that God came down in a human body called Jesus Christ in his fullness. And he laid the stones for this great, wonderful building. And these stones are the apostolic leaders that God spoke of in the book of Revelation as being the foundation of that great city. So then I'm seeking a city that hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. So then we see this wonderful thing. Other foundations can no man lay. And the Bible said, Brother Pike, you're going to build on this foundation. All the others are going to build on this foundation. And he said, let every man take heed how that he buildeth upon this foundation. He said, if he build hay and stubble, beware, for the day shall try his works. If a man's works will be burned, then he's going to suffer loss. But he said, build upon this foundation. Build upon this foundation. Don't build hay and stubble. Don't build gold and silver. Don't look for the beggarly elements of this world. He said, build upon this foundation the lively stones. You hear the bride says to come. You hear the bridegroom, and the bridegroom says to come. He said, let everyone that heareth, let him go out into the highways and into the hedges, and let him compel them to come into the house of God, and let him say, come. Let whosoever will that hears this thing say to them that are athirst, come, all of you freely, and partake of the waters of life. So then, this great, beautiful city, this great, wonderful building, even God's building, ye are God's building. I'm a wise master builder, Paul said. I am God, Paul said. It is not me living, but it is God. And he said, I am a builder, and I must build a building. For I've been given a revelation. I've been caught up to the third heaven, even as Moses was. And I've been caught up into the mount, and I've seen this great blueprint of God. I beheld the mind of God. He said, and I have a job to do. I must build a city. And the writer said, and this agrees with what was said in the Old Testament. I will return in the last days, saith God, and I will build up the fallen down house of David. The fallen down house of David was the Jews. The Jews was under David's leadership. David was a great king. These Jews followed David with regularity. And wherever David went, they went. David went out into battle before them. He was the king. He was their great leader. And they loved David even until he became very old and passed away. Even at the last minute, they tried to spare his life. They loved David. They hated to lose their leader. So then David was the great leader. And that was the house of God. But the Bible says the light of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former house. That of the former house being God's building, being God's house. It was a light, but it was likened unto the moonlight. It was the lesser light. God did not dwell in them to the extent that they were born again. All of these that loved the Lord, the Bible said they died in the faith, not having received the promise, but seeing it afar off, they embraced it, the Bible said. But they died in the faith, not having received the promise, seeing it afar off. And even Peter in his day, he got up and said, and this is that God promised, even that the prophet Joel spoke about, prophesied of. For it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And he said, in that day I will pour out of my spirit upon my handmaids, and even they shall prophesy. So then the grace coming to rain upon the just and the unjust, speaking of Calvary, speaking of the grace of God, that God would send the rain on the briar, and God would send the rain on the wheat, and God would send the rain on the just and the unjust. But beyond Calvary is the house, the lesser light, even the moonlight. That is a reflector. That is a lesser light. But God said, this light of the latter house, it shall be the light of the world. Know ye not that ye are the light of the world? Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So then, everyone that nameth the name of Christ said, let him depart from iniquity. So this latter house light is the light of the world. It's even Christ in you, the hope of glory. From glory to glory, from light to light. Oh, the glory of the light, of the unveiled face. It's the glory that's changing me. And so then with the rent veil, we see the light. With Moses as God unto the people, as Jesus unto the people, that is Jesus being the prophet like unto Moses, Moses being a type. The Bible said when he reflected this great glory from God, he had to put a veil over his face. And the Bible said putting the veil over his face, that was the only way that the people could communicate with him. And the people said, Moses, you talk to God. We're afraid, Moses. We're afraid to come into his presence. Said, you talk to God. And then you come and talk to us, Moses. And so then Moses communicating with God, being faithful in all of his house. All of a sudden, the glory of God came down. And Moses' face was illuminated. It became like the light, the bright light of the noonday. His face was illuminated, and the people were afraid, and they could not look at him. For the Bible said, these that were in that time could not steadfastly look to the end of that covenant. And even that covenant that was to be abolished, the Bible said, even a great covenant, and yet it was to be abolished. God, finding fault with the first, brought the second. I say again, that great covenant that God gave unto Moses, even the law, engraved in stones, that great covenant that God gave, but it still wasn't sufficient. So then the light of that former house was only a reflection. The moon shines, and we look around us through the dark. Remember, the whole world is in darkness. The Bible said of the whole world, life in darkness, and ye are children of light. See, and ye are a sheep among wolves. All of the world is dark. So then ye are little candles that God has lighted along the way. You're the little candles of God. And only where you are, there is light. All the rest of the world is darkness. Lucifer, the prince of darkness, is the prince of this world. And he is the ruler over all of the powers of the earth. He is the ruler. He is the prince of the powers that's in the air. He is the God of education, the God of the tree of knowledge. He is the God of this world. He is the ruler. He is the one that owns the presidency of this world, the kingship of this world. He is the one that hath all of these things. He said, and I give them to whomsoever I will. Said, because they're given into my hands to do that. He offered them to Jesus. But we see this great covenant. There's the veil there. There's the veil. But when Jesus came, the veil was rent in twain. There's the veil that's covering Moses' face. They can't steadfastly look to the end of that covenant. That is, there is a veil over the minds of the people and over the hearts of the people, Paul said. Even until this day, it's untaken away. He was a Jew. He knew that. He had studied. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was at the top of the list when it come to men of integrity and understanding and education. But even then, Paul couldn't understand. For when the great light came, and as he found himself on the road to Damascus, that great light that came, that shined round about Paul, the Bible said when this light came, suddenly Paul realized that he had scales over his eyes, that the veil wasn't taken away, that though he was a learned man, though he was a great man, though he seemingly knew everything there was to know, even to the extent that the dignitaries of that day had such respect for Paul and such fear of Paul's understanding, they said, Paul said, you've gone crazy, said, you've lost your mind, said, you've studied so much, you've learned so many things that you've gone crazy. When he started talking about Christ, Paul said, no, so that's not what it is. Just the scales, they've been moved from my eyes. I've been ever learning, never could come to the knowledge of the truth. Though I be chief among the Jews, though I be blameless, a Pharisee that's blameless as touching the law, as zeal that I persecuted and wasted the church of God. He said, but in spite of all of this, he said, I've come to know something, that there is within the heavenly places, there is something up in the heavenly places, he said. And all of a sudden, this godly wisdom, this great wisdom of God is made known now to the church. The manifold wisdom of God is now made known to human beings, Paul said. I'm one of the human beings that was caught up into the third heaven. I've seen this great, wonderful knowledge of God, he said. And so he said, and with this great understanding, the veil has been rent. And now I'm not on that side of Calvary where the scales is over my eyes. I'm not over here to where I can't understand the law and the types and the shadows. He said, I'm beyond that, and the noonday sun has come up brightly on this side of life. He said, and I'm on the sunny side of life. And I'm over here where the sunshine is, and the shadows are now behind me. As does Satan get behind me at Calvary. As do the shadows get behind me at Calvary. And now when I look at those things of the Old Testament, I don't see them as a veil that's over my face. I don't look through a glass darkly. I don't approach that with intellectual reasoning. He said, when I look back there, I see through the veil. He said, the veil is not over my heart. The scales are gone from my eyes. I see even into the third heaven, Paul said. All of this great, wonderful thing I see. For I've been transformed by my mind and spirit from dimension to dimension, to dimension, until I am found in the third heaven. I see this manifold wisdom of God. And the reason I see it is because the veil is rent. The veil has been taken away that was over Moses' face. And Moses was God. So I can see right there face to face. I can see God. I can stand in his presence. The veil has been rent in twain, which means I can enter into the very presence of Almighty God. I can come into the holies of holies. I can see this wonderful thing, Paul said. So then he said, this great wisdom is now made known to the children of God. And he said, I am a wise master builder. I must therefore build this holy city of God. I must build this great pyramid of God. I must build the city of God. You're the lively stones. You're my subjects. I'm the wise master builder. It's not me living, but God, as it was with Moses to the people. And so then Paul set out to build that great city. And you find that Paul is the one that established the nine churches. I remind you of this again. Then you find that Paul is standing in the midst of the candlesticks. It's not him that liveth, but Christ at the end of the way. And you find that those seven churches are the ones that Paul established. So then down at the end of the way, you find Paul all the way down through the church ages. It is Paul, the great revelation of Paul, this great revelator building up the holy city, the lively stones, putting everything into place. And even at the coming of John, you see John coming into the revelation of Jesus Christ to show that this great city has been built down through the ages, and to show that this great city is about to come down out of the Spirit, out of revelation, out of the heavens, coming down on the new earth. So then there is something that God has done. There is something great and mighty that God has done. Folks, do we feel that there's nothing been done down through the years? And do we feel that all that God ever done is build a building or had Brother Pike and somebody to build a building?
Do we feel that the only thing that God's ever done is have the Baptists and the Methodists and the Pentecostal and the Catholics and all of these denominational powers, and that all that God's ever done is have some kind of tent meeting out there? Folks, in the Spirit, God has done something great and mighty. Every step of it has taken place. God has done a great eternal thing. And you and I that understand God, we that walk in the Spirit, we that have eyes to see, we see this great thing. We see the things that's taking place in heaven. God has done some great spiritual thing. Do you think that we sit here tonight? All them that could hear my voice are standing there, sitting there today. Do you think that there is nothing to the church except just a group of people? Somebody that says, I'm a Christian. Somebody that's suffering. Somebody that's in misery. The Bible said, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. Do you feel that that's all that God's done for the church? Is that all there is to the church? I tell you that there is something beneath the veil. There is a masterpiece. There is the work of a master. It's beneath the veil. It's covered so the eyes cannot see it. And when one member of this body is unveiled, the noonday sun will never shine again. Never again will it shine. One Son of God being unveiled, just one Son of God that may be listening to me right now. One Son of God that shall be unveiled, and the sun shall be so dim it shall never shine anymore. So then we see God likening the great day star of our day to this great wonderful thing of God. And we see in the former house of the Jews that it failed, and great was the fall of that house. They rejected their master. They rejected their leader, the fallen down house of David. And now we see Paul over here, and this great, wonderful house is being rebuilt, but not as a natural Jewish temple. The Bible said, he that is a Jew outwardly, he is not a Jew, but he that is a Jew inwardly. So then we that are inward Jews, we that are spiritual Jews, we that are the true members of the body of Christ, that inner spiritual being of mine, that's a member of the Christ. You, the inner you, that's a spiritual being that's been born to the Spirit, and you are a membership of the great spiritual Christ. See, you, the unveiled, if you're ever unveiled, oh, what a thing it would be, the manifestation of the sons of God, when the light within you penetrates and breaks right through your human veil. See, we're not children of the darkness, of the intellectual reasoning, by reason of the fall of Adam in which all die. But we're children of the light. And we're walking in the light, and we're dwelling in the light. And our inner being is looking at the light. And we're not looking through a glass darkly. That veil is not over our face. It's not over our heart. The eyes of our understanding is penetrating. And the eyes of our understanding beholds even the knowledge of God to the third heaven. So we have this heavenly treasure in our earthen vessels. And here we are as children of the light within this veil of the human body. We are children of the light. And God has killed out this human body by the body of Jesus Christ. And God has rent this veil in twain by separating the Lord from the Christ, taking my inner spirit out of my body, burying my body in the watery grave, and taking my spirit into the heavens where Christ is. And so then these great spiritual bodies, these great spiritual beings that's hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, these sons and daughters of God, these subjects of another world, these great men and women of great intelligence and understanding, even godly intelligence, the knowledge of God in heavenly places, these people are dwelling in the Spirit. These people are dwelling in heaven. This is what God has done. See, God hasn't just had a people to run down from one generation to another and then cull them out like you would apples or oranges or fruits. Even though God has done that, that has not been the work of God. God's work has been to translate, to bring into His kingdom, to hide it from the eyes of the wise and prudent, to do it in the Spirit, to let Christ come and gather His members, a bride. God coming in the body of Jesus, even Christ in your heart, to catch your spirit and translate it by his wonderful word, his wonderful knowledge, even as Enoch was translated that he might not see death. And so then God has done a great work. Something great and mighty has taken place. Has God then just left the church without any leadership? Has he left the church without a deliverer? Has he left the church without understanding? God has done a great thing. Here we are, on the other side of Calvary. The light of this latter house. This unveiled light. This light of the world. We are God's covenant that cannot be broken, as I say so often. We're on this side of Calvary, and we're the light of the world, that great, wonderful light. What kind of light did the Jews have? They had an understanding. They had writings. They had scribes. They had scribes that had done pen work. All of the oracles of God, all that God had told Moses, they had it wrote down. They still have it today. They have the Ark of the Covenant. They have the understanding of the civil laws and the ritualistics for a great nation in the earth to rule the world. They still have it. One day they're going to bring it back, and one day they're going to rule the world. And all of the greatness of the world, all of the politics and powers of the world won't be able to compete with these great things that God has given them for accuracy in the earth as to set up his kingdom. But we have a light greater than that. Even Solomon. Our light is greater than Solomon's light. Our light is so great, the veil has been rent. And here we are seeing into the heavens. And here we are with the mind of Almighty God. And here we are with the knowledge of God that comes right out of the heavens. Solomon didn't have that. Seeing the moon rim back there, there was reflectors. But here we are, the very body of God itself, the very light of the universe. For the Bible said in that great city, it hath no need for the sun, and hath no need for the moon. For it said that the Lamb is the light thereof. This great light, this great understanding, not an understanding of ritualistics, of writings and scribings, or scribblings from a scribe, as to the natural law, as to the Old Testament. But this is the very light of God. This is the rent veil. This is the revelation of the Son of God. This is the unveiled mind of God coming down from heaven. This is that understanding that you can't get in college. This is that understanding that can't come from somebody. It must come from God. So then this knowledge, the Bible said, now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of Almighty God. We have this heavenly treasure in these earthen vessels. And so then this great light that we speak of is coming down from God, and it's on the inside of us. This great light, this great understanding. Do I understand as Moses? Do I understand as Solomon? The Bible said concerning John the Baptist, even the forerunner of God, even the man sent from God. The Bible said concerning him, though he be ever so great, more than a prophet, he said, yet he that is a son of God, he that is in sonship, he that is least in the kingdom of God, that's been translated in the kingdom of God, is greater than John. So then in this light, we're the light of the world. This is the knowledge. When you say light, you're speaking of understanding. This is the understanding, your eyes of your understanding being enlightened. This is an understanding that the great professors of the world can't understand. Even when we talk to the people down in Mexico, when we talked to the congressman, we talked to the senator, when we met the different dignitaries in the upper echelon of life, they could not understand this great wonderfulness of God. Though there were great men, men of great power, dignitaries of the earth, but like little bitty children when it come to the mind of Almighty God. And so then this light, the light of the latter house, the light, the veil has been rent, and this great light is coming. And the Bible said, he that sitteth in the temple of God, even Lucifer that sits in the body of the human being, showing himself that he is God, even Lucifer, the God of this world, the Bible said, him will I destroy with the brightness of my coming. So then with the great brightness of the coming of God, that means that the same God that spoke everything into existence by his word as to the receding to allow the lesser to come, now the brighter is coming and the lesser is diminishing and moving away. And by the coming of the greater, as the lesser diminishes, then everything is spoken out of existence. Everything is spoken out. As to the receding, so came the veil. Even the veil of darkness. As the sun sets, as it moves away, as it moves into the west, then comes the veil of darkness. And all of the images are hid. But then with the morning light and the new horizon, here comes the sunlight. Here comes the day star. And as it moves in, the veil of night is moved away. Your intellectual reasoning is there no more. The Bible said, and God looked down upon the earth, and there was darkness upon the face of the deep. And he said, let there be light. And the Bible said, there was light. And then when the light came, all of the images came. All of the creation of God came. Paul said all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the veil of these allegoric things that we see. These things that are visible tells us. But the great veil has been rent. And the veil is moving away. And we're not seeing through a glass darkly of the old intellectual wilderness, wandering of the mind of the beast of the old tree of knowledge. We're looking through the veil, and we're looking at it through the mind of Christ. We're looking at it through the revelation. We're looking at it through the unveiled. And we're seeing the great, wonderful magnificence of God. This light. So then the light of the latter house is greater than that of the former house. Because this light is the light of the world, even the new world. Bringing in the new world. And all of the other things that was caught in the veil of darkness. God said, let there be. Then God, as God backed away. In that God left Adam and God left Eve and the sunlight went down. And as God backed away, he said, from evening until morning, and it was the first day. So then the veil set in, the darkness came, and the intellectual powers took over. And even today, they're still in power. All of them today are still in power, and the darkness is still there. But we passed through the veil. We passed through the door that's spoken of in Revelation 4. We're those that dwell in heaven. We're they that live in another world. We're they that have that great, wonderful mind of God. And so then we're in another city. The Bible said, rejoice ye that are in heaven. So then we passed over and the veil of darkness is gone. The veil of darkness has been moved away. And we're not looking through that intellectual veil of darkness. We've come into the secret chambers and God has moved. Or the husband, Isaac, the promised son, has moved the veil from our face. And now we're looking at him face to face. And he sees the beauty and the radiance of the glow and inspiration within us that reflects him as we become one with him. Having traveled all of that way, she did it for one thing. Rebecca had one thing on her mind, traveling many miles. And that was him. Him, the thoughts of him. As I journey, I have one thing on my mind, and that's him. The thoughts of him. As I approach the city and the lights of the great city, I've got one thing on my mind, and that's him. I've got him on my mind when I think every day, when I wake up. The first thing I think is Jesus. I think about him. I think about him through the day. I think about him in all that I do. I think about him. He's on my mind. He's transformating me. He's translating me. He'll transfigure me. Christ is doing this. Because I believe in him. I think on him. I meditate in his laws day and night. Rebecca could think about nothing but him. And when she got into the secret chambers and the veil was lifted there, they were one and her beauty was exposed to him and his face was exposed to her. And there they began to see even as they were seen. They began to see. The veil is now rent. God has come to us. It's not a fleshly body. It's not a fleshly being. We're not to know anyone after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Bible said we have known Jesus after the flesh, but now he's a quickening spirit. We don't know him anymore after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So then we know him as a spirit. We know each other as a spirit. And as we behold this beyond the veil, then the intellectual darkness fades away into nothing. And as God withdrew and the day star withdrew and everything took form, now God is coming forth. And as God comes forth, the darkness flees the wave. Your intellectual concept of what things are like, your intellectual views, your intellectual zeal is beginning to diminish and beginning to pass away. And there is light. He said, let there be light. And there was light. And there is light. He said, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And everything was without form. That is, it wasn't in the image of God. It wasn't in the image of God's desire. And God said, let that pass away. Let that darkness pass away. And there was light. And then everything came into God's image. It came into God's word. And everything was God's word made manifest. It was God's desire as to the image and design. The Bible said all things was made by him and for him, and without him was not anything made that was made. God made it all for Jesus and made it all by Jesus. So then faith in the word, faith in Christ's ability. Here we are. God is not receding and moving away to say from evening till morning. But he said, I'll despise your image in the morning. And now has come the first day. Now has come the image. Now has come this time. That is to say, not just the first day of the coming of the Lord, for he has worked patiently all of these days. But see, the thing is, the Bible said, and he rested on the seventh, and this is called the day of the Lord. This is the dawning of the day of perfection. This is the day when all the briars are taken away. This is the day of the Lord. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And the Bible said, he that has ceased from his own works, he hath entered into the works of God. Well, that is, he has entered into God's rest. God rested on the seventh day, and this is the day of the Lord, and we enter into God's day. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. We enter into God's day. We come into this great light, this great understanding, and then we realize that this covenant can't be broken. We realize that we can't sin. We realize that nothing can separate us from the love of God, and then we quit struggling, and we settle down, and we just start resting. For the Bible said, he that cometh into this has ceased from his own works. He quits worrying about it as the Jews, as going about to establish their own righteousness. And we enter into the righteousness of the Lord. So then we see the beauty of what God is doing. God is coming now, and the night is moving, and the veil is moving. And our minds, our eyes of our understanding are beginning to behold that great heavenly city, that great wonderful image, the great lively stones, the great city of God coming down out of heaven, God's building, God's new Jerusalem. We're beginning to see it as it comes forth, this great light. For the Bible said her light was most precious. Folks, I don't know how it is to you, but this revelation I got is most precious. It is most precious, for the Bible said, and her light was most precious. And all of the kings of the earth had to come to this light. Did you know the things that we understand, the things that we say? All of the dignitaries of the earth, all of the kings of the earth have to come to the light of your shining. They have to come to this knowledge, this wisdom, this greatness. It's so far greater than the teachings in colleges and other places that the Bible describes it as being the last days when the house of God shall be established and all nations shall flow unto that house, saying, let us go unto the house of God and let God teach us of his ways. So then we are God's building. We are God's light, the light that's most precious. This is the wonderful light of God. This is that great, wonderful, wonderful understanding of Jesus that will change the entire world. This is the most sure word of prophecy. This is the word to word that you can say whatever you will and not doubt, and it will come to pass. There is no other word in the earth like that. There is no government. There is no power. There is no education. There is no understanding like that. This light, this word is with power. And so then this word can say, and it shall be. And if you don't doubt in your heart, through this great light, this great knowledge, this great understanding, this great word, all of a sudden it comes to pass. Just the way that he said it. And as the songwriter said, it happened. Just like he said. He healed the sick, opened the eyes of the blind, he raised the dead. And it happened just like he said. New Jerusalem coming down from God, the tabernacle of God. Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. They don't know that, but the Bible said he shall suddenly appear within his tabernacle, within his temple. He shall suddenly appear. And they will say, my God, the tabernacle of God has been here all the time. And there they are. And it was said, whoever looks toward this tabernacle or this temple that Solomon has built Whoever looks toward it, they believe and call on the name of the Lord, they'll be healed. So then, as it was with the body of Jesus, virtue goes out and heals them all. And we're that body. So then, if anything have any virtue in them, anything be lovely, anything be pure, think on these things. Be filled with the virtues of Christ. Be filled with the Spirit. So we're God's building. A holy priesthood, a habitation for the great Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And there's going to be nations and kings over nations, even in the new earth. And they're going to walk in the light of this great city. I want to be part of that light, don't you? The Bible said that the Lamb is the light thereof. And if we're bone of his bone, killed all the day as sheep to the slaughter. If we are bone of his bone, then we're going to be that great light. And all of the world is going to walk in that light. That's going to be the knowledge. That's going to be the understanding. That's going to be the government. That's going to be the power. That's going to be the hope and inspiration of life. How beautiful. I want to be one of them, don't you? So then tonight, I say again, do we then think that God has just done some little old something by letting generations come in and die and so the church goes on? Folks, God has done a great thing, an eternal thing. God has established an eternal thing, beautiful, wonderful, beyond the wildest imagination. God has done it. Speaking things out of existence as we revelate and move the veil. And the veil is no more. So existence as to tangible means is no more. And all that remains is that great spiritual invisible world that only they that have eyes to see can see. You that have eyes to see in this world, you can see. A blind man can't see in this world because he doesn't have eyes to see in this world. And all that have eyes to see in that world, they will see. But you won't be able to see in that world if you have not eyes to see. For the Bible said, having eyes, ye see not. Having ears, ye hear not. But we have eyes to see and we have ears to hear. Just as you have ears to hear and eyes to see in this world, so do we in the next world. How beautiful. How wonderful. Let's stand together. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face, the light of the glory. The Bible said, this glory, it's changing me. It's changing me. To look at this glory, it has transformating power. When the glory is revealed, it transformates. Like looking at a beautiful diamond. It absorbs your mind. It takes your mind. It harnesses you to the extent you're fascinated. Like a beautiful enchantment of God, his presence, his love so holy, as a holy enchanting. So then we're caught away in his beauty and in his radiance, in his power and his magnificence. So this light is changing me as beholding that unveiled face of Christ. That is changing me, it's transforming it. It's the power of transformation. It transformates. Paul said, be therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a power of transformating. This is why you that are so temperamental, you that are filled with jealousy and rage and envy and strife, you that are filled with the desire of this world and passions and all of the things of your physique and your businesses, you'll never have this. You can never have this. It isn't given to you. A man can only receive it if it be given him. It is not given to you. But them that have forsaken all, them that have forsaken their intellectual abilities, not proud of themselves, them that realizes that they're nothing and esteem others better than themselves, them that lost their temper, got rid of it, them that have subjected themselves to the holiness of God and the righteousness of God, to serve him in holiness and righteousness, all the days of their life, they that hate their lives here, they that have forsaken their lives here to gain their lives there, you're subjects of that great city. You're eternal subjects. You can't be killed. You can't die. You're God's. You've passed from death unto life. Shall never come into condemnation. All sin is in the flesh. All sin is in the flesh. Sinful flesh. And God has taken that away. We don't have any flesh. We're not a living soul.
We're quickening spirits. We're not in the flesh. If we were, we couldn't please God. But we're in the Spirit. And if so be that you're in the Spirit, ye should walk in the Spirit, that ye should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And if you're in the Spirit, you will do that. So then, being spiritual beings in a spiritual world, with a spiritual mind, we've crossed over death. The Jordan is now behind us. How beautiful. How wonderful. All through the transformating of our mind and the translating of our spirit that will result in the transfigurating of these outer genetics. God's building the light that's most precious. Let's sing a little chorus together. Down at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there, by faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. You know, someone would come to church and they think, back at church again, heard another sermon again, be back next time, gotta go to church, my church, church, church. You know, that's a sad case, isn't it? Because they don't know anything that's happened. They're not living in that heavenly world. They haven't made those transitional changes. To them, it's just a great burden, and they see nothing happening. And everything is more enticing in the world that's around them. And all that they want is in the world. Miserable, wretched, blind. But oh, how happy those are that know Him, that's moved into that world. Not just coming to church. Coming to church has nothing to do with it. They are in that world. They are in heaven. They are dwelling in heaven. They are the great subjects of God. They never leave that wonderful place of bliss. And they rejoice forevermore. They have a good time in the Lord all the days of their life. And God delivers them. You love Jesus? Let's sing this little chorus. I'll go with them through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him. With him all the way. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. Oh, he will give me His grace and His glory, and He'll go with me all the way. Sing it with me now. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow.
I will follow. I'll go with him, with him all the way.
Hallelujah. Being with Jesus, I think about it a lot of times. Let's sing this little chorus. I think about it like this.
Sweeter each day, grows sweeter each day. God's blessings grow sweeter along the way. Sweeter each day, sweeter each day. His love grows sweeter.
Can you sing it again?
Grows sweeter each day. Grows sweeter each day. God's blessings, they're sweeter each day. Grows sweeter every day. Grows sweeter each day. God's glory is sweeter each day. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Oh, come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in Tuesday. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Sing it again.
Oh, come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in Tuesday. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
While we're standing here now, just bow your heads with me. Lift your hands up. The Bible said I would that men everywhere lift up hands without wrath and without doubting. This is why we ask you to lift up your hands. Having come together tonight to talk about the light of this wonderful city, most precious. To talk about this light, I wonder tonight, if you're that light, if you're that city, if you're those stones, then you have that light, most precious. If you don't have that light, most precious, then that means you're still imprisoned by the intellectual reasoning of your own understanding. And that light, with all of its radiance, you don't have it. This is the light most precious. The light most precious. You may go to school and college. You may get an understanding. You may get an education. You may learn a lot of things, and you may become wise, and you may become skillful. You may have great skills and talents and abilities in this life, in this world. But folks, if you don't have the light most precious, then you're not the lively stones that make up that city. You're not God's building. You're not Christ's bride. So tonight, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation to give you the enlightening of your understanding, that you may have this light most precious. How beautiful. For the Bible said, as a precious stone, a precious stone. How beautiful. I'm thankful tonight. I sold all that I had, and I went out and I purchased that pearl of great price. I found it. I found God's pearl of great price, even the Lord Jesus, the hope of glory within my heart. And I went out and purchased that great field with that pearl of great price. Took all that I had, didn't have nothing left. I said, Lord, I'll give you my heart. Lord, I'll give you my strength. Lord, I'll serve you with all of my mind. I'll love you with all of my mind, with all of my heart, with all of my strength. All that I got, Lord, I'll give it to you if you'll give me the pearl of great price. And the Lord said, it's yours, son. That's all I require. If just a cup of water I place within your hand, the songwriter said, just a cup of water. That's all that he'll demand. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. And I said, Lord, this is all I got. He said, that's all I need. That's all I want. That's all I'm asking. That's sufficient. And tonight I have that great, beautiful pearl, that pearl of great price. Hallelujah. Even eternal life. How beautiful. How lovely. And that's why I get excited and come so often to tell you about it from day to day, from time to time, from service to service, over and over again, I tell you, to remind you so that you don't forget. Give the more in his teeth. Take heed how that you hear. Incorporate it in your life. Whatever you do, remember that Jesus is coming. And remember that the Christ of heaven has returned into this temple, into this tabernacle, to be glorified in his saints. Well, I looked over the Jordan, and what did I see? Coming to carry me home. It was the band of angels coming after me. Coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet child, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming too. They're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, coming to carry me home. Lift your hands up. Close your eyes. I see the little bitty lad standing out. He lifts up his little hands. Lifts up his little hands. The Bible said, out of the mouth of sucklings and of babes, God has perfected praise. And in their own little way, they praise God. They love the Lord and they praise God in their own little way. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said, Brother Pike, unless you and the others can become as these little children, as so innocent as they be, said you'll never inherit the kingdom. Remember, folks, you don't enter into the kingdom as through flesh and blood, neither does flesh and blood inherit it. And the kingdom of God cometh not by observation of flesh and blood. Neither shall they say, lo, nor here. All the church world is going to be deceived, except those that realize that Enoch was translated by faith, and that it's by faith in God that you're translated by transformation into this wonderful kingdom of light, into this kingdom of light, this great light. This light, most precious, you're transformated from your mind of darkness into this new birth light of this great mind of this Christ child that's forming within you. Even from revelation to revelation and light to light, from understanding to understanding, from glory to glory, the light of the unveiled face. How beautiful. While we're standing here tonight and we've got our eyes closed and our hands lifted up, I want you to think on this wonderful light. Ask Brother Gary Joyner, if he will, to come up. Pray with us tonight. If you've never made the commitment to the Lord, if you've never entered into that great palace of light, great world of light, folks, then you're creatures of darkness. And Lucifer, even the god of this world, has blinded your eyes by the intellectual veil of darkness of your own human reasoning, that ye should not see when light cometh, nor when good cometh. And ye are confined to the world of darkness. Ye are as the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. But he that hath an eye to see, let him see. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. For as the body of Christ Jesus said, I do always the things I see my Father do. So tonight, let your mind move into the world of light. Let God open your eyes. Let him open your eyes. Like blind Bartimaeus, cry along the roadside, saying, Thou son of David, O thou son of David, have mercy on me. Open my eyes that I may see, and let the scales fall from my eyes. Move the glass darkly. Move the veil from off of my heart. And let me see beyond the veil, Father. While our brother comes to pray with you tonight, think on these things.